from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
You are looking awfully chipper this morning.
Well, that's a strange mystery then. I don't know. I don't feel it.
Morning, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan at Cross and Throne Ministries, together with my partner in crime.
Thanks for that warm welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Martin Zender. Hello. And we are here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Beautiful.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
At WBRI in Indianapolis, our headquarters. We broadcast to the four corners of the earth from here.
Four corners. Are there corners? Actual corners.
It might be a figure of speech.
It might be a figure
of
speech.
It may be a figure
Good
of
thinking.
Speech.
I'll look into it.
I'll check the internet.
Yeah. It's not spring yet. I know that. I'm still a little chilly.
Yeah, no, it's not spring yet. I got some.
Speaking of springing.
Yes.
Aren't you going to spring something?
I'm going to spring something. I've been saving this.
By the way, people, just so they realize, so they get an idea of what they're hearing here, they are hearing a completely spontaneous radio show. You and I don't get together hours ahead of time.
No, we don't.
And script this out. So we are as anxious to find out what's going to happen next as you are.
It's really true. I mean, we're tempted once in a while to discuss things in between shows.
But we think, well, it'll ruin.
Yeah,
it'll
and as soon it. As I start to say, you know, maybe in this next show we should, and then you go, don't tell me, don't tell me. Or you'll say, oh, I have an idea. And I'll say, don't tell me, just turn the...
You know, people get the impression that we get along and we actually like each other too.
I know that's crazy.
We gotta fix that misconception.
Yeah,
we don't like each other. We love each other.
Yeah.
Gosh,
it's a
match made in heaven. I just threw up in my mouth. Excuse me. All right, go ahead.
It's a match made in heaven, and don't think too much of that, Kelly in Arizona.
Kelly in Arizona.
Yeah, don't think too much of that statement there. I gotta spring something on you.
Spring it on me, man.
I have made the grade. I mean, I've arrived at a certain place here, and this is the ultimate flattery.
You arrived? Well, the bathroom down the hall.
No, there has been. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm not sure you're ready. Somebody's named their dog after me.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, I'm serious.
By the way, they named dogs Nero and Belshazzar, too.
I don't know what end of the dog they were looking at when they... Listen to this. look, I'm going to show you the picture first. Look.
All right, let's see the dog.
Look, don't read the text
right.
yet.
No, read the text.
Okay, now you've seen the dog, right? It's a good-looking dog.
You know what? This dog doesn't do you justice. It's way too good-looking for
I know. I know. Wait a minute.
Maybe they should have turned the dog around.
What did you drink this morning?
Not much orange juice.
Listen to this. I heard about this. This is a couple in Baltimore. They're named Steve and Amy Janowski, and they named their dog after
Must be Irish.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm glad to send you a picture of our dog, Zender. Sometimes we call him Z for short. Most of the time. Now, this is what I don't know. I think they misnamed this dog.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you why, because he's going to describe the characteristics of this pooch. Most of the time, he snarls and barks. But I caught him in a rare moment of calm and repose. I snapped a quick pic, and that's the one I just showed you. Just after snapping the pic, the dog began foaming at the mouth, growling, and causing torment and hell all over the house again. I think they should have named it Sheridan.
Huh. No, I don't know.
He hasn't killed anyone yet, but he's just 5 months, so there's time. So, yeah, this is, Steve and Amy in Baltimore. Thank you for naming your dog after
Steve and Amy, you have very good sense, intelligence, and you are a quick judge of character. So I think that's a good connection, naming you after that animal. Very good,
I'm not sure how to take that, but thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, we're going to read a passage of Scripture together, because we are here to talk about the secrets of God.
That's
the
right.
Mysteries, as probably most of your Bibles have it. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4 says this regarding himself and others who are involved in the ministry. He says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries," plural, "of God." And it says, moreover, it is required in a steward in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so we're here, we're about to discuss a series of topics, which I think is very important, and I know Martin agrees, that's why we're going to be talking about this, that as stewards of God's secrets or mysteries, we realize our responsibility to being faithful to the truth, but we're stewards of something, and in these mysteries, these secrets, comes from a Greek word called, how do you pronounce it? It's mysterion,
mysterion.
Right? The Concordant Version translates it secrets. I think almost every other version translates it mysteries.
Which I don't like.
Six and one, half dozen the other, depending on, I guess, your taste. I don't mind either. I don't mind mysteries. It seems close to the Greek word. But the idea, that very word mystery, or secret's good, mystery may give you the idea of mysterious.
Ooh. Well, it gives you the idea that you're never going to get it. It's something that can't be understood.
Yeah. Now, if I tell you a secret, hey, Martin.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
Okay, see, now, most didn't hear that. Mm. And a secret is just simply something that's hidden. And the idea of a secret is not how smart you are. The idea is, have you been let in on it? I just whispered to Zender. That's between him, you know, Martin and myself. Now, in order to let you in on this secret, what do we have to do?
We just have to tell him.
So when you see the term mystery or secret in Scripture, it has reference to something that only those in an inner circle can know about. And it doesn't take learning. It just takes being initiated into it, being told it.
Yeah, which is intimate of God on his part. Yeah. You know, when you see somebody like the President of the United States and there's somebody standing next to him and everybody looks for the photo op. They want to be seen talking to the President. You know, the President leans over at the table and he whispers to one of his aides and the aide feels, I'm a confidant of the President. And to think that God is revealing secrets to his chosen one. We're looking through these secrets. There's 12 of them, interestingly enough. And going through them one at a time, I realized that the Christian world in general does not know any of these secrets.
Exactly.
Which is amazing, because I'll tell you why I prefer the word secret to mystery, is that a secret is, as you said, a secret until it's revealed. Whereas a mystery, it doesn't hold out any promise of being able to be grasped or understood. But a secret is a secret up until the time it's disclosed. And God is whispering to us his secrets, which is humbling that he's telling guys like you and me what he's doing. And now we're passing it on to you. And what we're about to tell you in upcoming weeks is in the Scriptures, but somehow there's still secrets to the majority of Christians. Why do you think that is, Dan?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One of the things, by the way, just so our listeners know, if you have a copy of the Companion Bible, the 193rd appendix gives you an outline of this word and its meaning, and it shows you its usage. But what is interesting about this, the reason why I think it's ignorance, is because of the Christian world. Now, I may even say this, Martin. I'm gonna rebuke some of our listeners. Remember, we talked about the Scriptures rebuke us, right?
Yeah.
A lot of it's negative. And so here it is. You ready? Most, probably the foremost reason people are ignorant is because they're ignorant of the Scriptures. We're about to talk about the divine mysteries or divine secrets. And when Paul said he was a steward of them. And you realize that Paul is not the only one who reveals secrets in the Scriptures. What's the first secret we're going to go to? Tell everyone.
The secrets of the kingdom?
Okay, where is that found? Is that found in Paul's letters?
Matthew 13.
And it's found in Matthew 13. And in order to understand Matthew 13, you have to be familiar with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles.
Ruth, are you
Psalms,
sure, Ruth? Are you sure?
Isaiah,
I think you're going
Proverbs,
a little too far there.
And
Ruth?
Yes, Ruth too.
You have to have
the Word of God. Not just as, you don't treat the Bible like a novel, you treat it like it's God's Word. So I think part of the reason is because, one, people aren't familiar with the whole Scriptures. And you and I, those who listen to us, realize that we proclaim here the gospel, the grace of God, the teaching that God committed to the Apostle Paul. But the only reason we embrace Paul is because we see what God has been doing up until Paul and what he's going to be doing in the future. So in order to understand Paul, you have to realize his place in the scheme of things and in God's purpose. So these secrets embrace the purpose of God concerning heaven and earth. So it really encompasses all of God's ways.
And there's a few mysteries that only secrets. Why I don't want to use the word mystery. I think it's really confusing. I think secret is a... I know that you were reading the King James there right off the bat, right?
And there's only the concordant version, I think, is the only one. Maybe the Young's Literal. I don't have a copy of it. There are so very few translations that use the word. Most of our listeners out there probably are using a common translation.
Well, but there again,
I think it's good to show, you know, use them both for now, because if we were talking to everyone who is in our Amarillo Bible study, they'd know what we're talking about, but most don't. So I'm trying to instruct those who are listening, driving their car. So,
or is it a case like Aeonian, where we just don't want to use that at all? Or eternal is translated Aeonian.
Yeah.
You know, I just wonder if mystery even gets it across, because it's just like,
true,
you'll never understand as it's a mystery. Let's go back to Paul. He's the one, he revealed some of these secrets. But once he told them, I mean, a lot of the people he was talking to were Greeks who had never heard of perhaps the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
So when we're going to talk about in this upcoming week the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom, would Paul's listeners as Greeks have any real need to go into detail except just to know that? Because you and I, how much detail are we going to go into?
I will say this. Let me say this. I think we do not give Paul's listeners enough credit. For instance, we look back at these first century, and even in the Old Testament, we look at these foreign people as if they were ignorant. We think they're stupid. When you read Paul's letter to the Romans, do you know how many Old Testament scriptures he's quoted?
Yeah, you know, he quotes a lot.
Oh, and the reason is because when he went among them, he taught them these things. And so, and today, really, there's no excuse, because every American, we have people listening all over the world, but a Bible is accessible to anyone today.
Do you think Paul gave him the Cliff Notes?
Did he give them the Cliff Notes?
You know, or did he hand out complete copies of the Hebrew Scriptures?
They were available.
Right.
That's all I can say. They were available. They were available, and it's for instance, even in the book of Acts, this Ethiopian is carrying with him a copy of the Old Testament.
Yeah, he was, the scroll of Isaiah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to open some scrolls for you.
We're going to scroll it up, baby.
We're going to unravel and unscroll the
show
truth.
Is too short. We got to get it longer.
That's what everybody's saying. They want, but my dad always said, leave them wanting more. So, you know, it's not a bad thing.
I know.
We're going to leave you wanting more.
If you want to keep getting more and more, please help consider supporting the cost of the program. Go to crossandthrone.com and go to the donate button and designate your offering if you'd like to Zender Sheridan Show. That way we keep it going. That way I can look at your face for the rest of time.
We're going to initiate you into the secrets of God. By no great wisdom of ours, these secrets are written in the Word, and we're going to open up these treasures for you this week and probably next week. I hope you're here tomorrow.
Yeehaw! With us.